Well, before we look at that, shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you that you've spoken to us in your word, and we pray now that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word. Give us ears to hear, help us to listen, and to learn more from yourself, learn more of your truth and your work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you look at the reading, verse 9, Nicodemus said, "How can this be?" This, what Jesus was speaking about, was a mystery to him. Now, there are many mysteries in life, aren't there? Some of them are very trivial mysteries, but mystery is still the same. For instance, if you do the washing up in a bowl or a sink, what happens to the last teaspoon? It's always there, isn't it? And I can remember even washing up on camp and you had to throw the water into a big hole, the teaspoon would end up down the hole and we just have to go and get it. Or, this is probably for the ladies, excuse me if I'm being not politically correct, but what happens to socks in your washing machine? Your washing machine eats them, doesn't it? How many times do you come out and you think, where is the other sock? And those mysteries don't really matter, do they? But they're mysteries all the same. Sometimes there are mysteries in life which we just cannot understand and get our heads round. And maybe you boys at school, sometimes your teacher might say things and you think, what's he or she on about? Well, they can understand them because they're grown ups, but maybe you can't. I remember once in a church I used to go to before Stanwell, and there was a young man there who had a PhD in mathematics from Oxford University. Now, I've got a degree in mathematics, as some of you know. So I thought, I'll ask him about this degree, this PhD in mathematics, thinking I should be able to follow this. So I asked him, what was your PhD in mathematics about? And he started talking to me. It was something to do with string theory. And I was lost. I couldn't understand it. It was a mystery to me. But it wasn't because there was anything wrong with what he was saying. It was just beyond my understanding. And that's more close to what we have here. Something that is almost beyond our understanding. But not quite, because Jesus tells us about it. There's other mysteries in life. There's a big mystery in the Christian life, and that is people can hear this message about Jesus Christ, and some will believe it, and some won't. It's the same message. But why is it that some believe it and some don't? Well, our passage actually tells us why. And we're going to think about this evening the new birth, and that's in verses 3 to 8. Particularly of our passage. Let's look at those verses again. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Subject for tonight then is, you must be born again. Now this phrase, born again, has many misunderstandings, misconceptions. Some people would say born again just means turn your life around. Well, being born again does have that effect, but it's not just turning over a new leaf or becoming a better person. Some people think being born again is a special experience, emotional experience you might get from the Holy Spirit of God. It may be emotional, but it's not just that. Some people think being born again happens at baptism. And that can be whether you're baptised as a baby or whether you're baptised as an adult. My background was in a Baptist church, and so adults were baptised on profession of faith. But still the idea existed that when you were baptised, you were born again. But that's not true, as we know, because there are people that have been baptised who subsequently show that they are not Christians, they were not born again. Some people have thought that being born again is something we can do something about it. There was a book written once, How to Be Born Again. And I didn't read the book, but it was a funny title, and I wondered what on earth it was going to say. Now, our reading was about a religious man called Nicodemus, who wanted to know the truth from Jesus Christ. And because he was religious, he went to Jesus at night because he didn't want to be seen by the other religious leaders, because they would have thought he was a bad person if he did that. And we read of the talk they had together. And this evening, I want to bring to you four headings. First of all, what is the kingdom of God? Because we read it here in verse 3 and again in verse 5. Secondly, it is essential that people are born again. Jesus says you must be born again. Thirdly, how are we born again? And we are born by the Spirit of God. And fourthly, what are the marks of someone who is born again? So first of all, what is the kingdom of God? Verse 3, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Kingdom of God. But it's not a physical kingdom, a place you can go to. Jesus made that quite clear. He said to some of the religious leaders, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. The kingdom of God is within you. And then when he was tried by Pontius Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world, otherwise my servants would fight to rescue me. The kingdom of God is not a political or a national kingdom. The kingdom of God is not to be identified with the visible church. And the reason why that's true is because we read even in the Bible of those who were in the church, but their behaviour and their lives and what happened to them showed that they were not true believers. Judas Iscariot is the first one. He was one of the 12, but he, according to the scriptures, was lost. There was a couple called Ananias and Sapphira who tried to deceive God by withholding some money. And they were not in the kingdom of God, obviously. There was another man called Demas, used to help Paul, but he went off. The kingdom of God is not to be identified with the church. What is it then? The kingdom of God is within you. It's the state of having God as your king, as your ruler. It's being accepted by God, it is knowing God, it's being directed by God, and having the protection and care of God. To be in the kingdom of God is to be a true Christian. On one occasion, Jesus said to a man who'd had a conversation with him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And what he meant by that was, you are close to becoming a true follower of me, to be a believer in me. The kingdom of God is when a man or woman or boy or girl, because there's no age limit, takes Jesus as their own, believes in him and becomes a disciple. It's not just knowing about Jesus, but it's taking him for yourself. And Andy reminded me when he asked me, that's what happened those years ago. The kingdom of God begins now within our hearts. And of course, there is a kingdom of God to come, a fulfillment in eternity, when Jesus said, we will sit at the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, with all others who have believed. So this is what it means by the kingdom of God. Secondly then, it is essential to be born again, to see the kingdom of God in verse 3, and then to enter the kingdom of God in verse 5. Even to understand it, we must be born again. And Jesus is saying this, it's not mine and it's not the church saying it. And the reason that we must be born again is because as we are by nature, we cannot understand the truth about God or about ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 tells us, The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. We need the work of the Holy Spirit to enable us to understand spiritual realities, truth about God, truth about ourselves. We need the Spirit to open our minds, to open our spiritually deaf ears, to open our spiritually blind eyes, to give us true knowledge about ourselves and about the Lord. And we need to be born again because we are dead. We are unwilling and unable to come to the Lord Jesus for eternal life. Very clear teaching in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 to 3 tells us, as for you, these Christian believers in Ephesus, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, and so on. Dead in trespasses and sins. And this is not just what the New Testament says. It's in fact what the whole Bible says. Way back in Genesis chapter 6, before the flood, God's verdict was, the thoughts of man's heart are only evil all the time. And there's some very wonderful words in the prophet Jeremiah. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change its spots? So you who are evil, how can you do what is good? And then Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. See, we must be born again because of our deadness and the state of our hearts. Someone has said, the heart of the problem of man is the problem of man's heart. And that is true. We need to be born again. Otherwise, we can remain dead in our trespasses and sins. So thirdly, how are we born again? And we read three times here, verse 5, verse 6, and verse 8, it is by the Holy Spirit of God that a person is born again. To be born again is to be worked in by the Holy Spirit so that that person receives a new understanding, new desires, new aims, and a new relationship with God. It's the work of God in the soul of man. And you know, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. That's why it's strange that Nicodemus didn't understand it. And we'll look at some of the verses that Nicodemus should have known in a moment. To be born again is not something that we do. It's not the work of any man, but it's the work of God himself. And we ought to pray much for this work to be done in people as they hear the gospel. No one is born again without the message of Jesus Christ, but we need to pray that the message would be, the people would be worked on by the Holy Spirit so the message speaks to them. God works in the heart of man to make them new. Nicodemus should have known this because in Jeremiah 31, 33, God says, I will give them, I write my laws in their hearts. Jeremiah 31, verse 33, I write my laws in their hearts and in their minds, declares the Lord. I will be their God and they will be my people. And those verses are repeated in Hebrews chapter 8. Or in Ezekiel chapter 36, even more clearly, Jesus says in verses 26 and 27, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So these verses speak about a great change in our hearts. By nature, we have a heart that's like a heart of stone, and it will be replaced with a heart of flesh. God will put within us a new heart and a new spirit, and God himself comes and lives within us, and he changes our minds about God and his commands. We read from Ephesians chapter 2, but it goes on to say, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. We were dead, but then we are made alive. To be born again, then, is to experience a deep, thorough, lasting renewal in our souls, so that we see ourselves as we really are, undeserving in God's eyes, and so that we turn to him. And it means we have a new attitude in our hearts and minds, so we want to think, do and say those things which please God. The new birth results in our turning away from ourselves and our sins and wanting to go God's way for his honour and glory. This is how anybody will enter the kingdom of God. It's how anybody becomes a Christian. John has already said in chapter 1 of the Gospel in verse 13, Children of God are born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Nobody's a Christian because they're born into a Christian family. I was, but I needed to come and receive the Lord for myself. No one is born because of a human decision. No one can become a Christian because the head of the family says we're all going to become Christians. It's good for heads of families to say we're all going to go to worship God and to pray and to hear God's word, of course. But nobody else can make the decision for you. And a husband can't decide for his wife or his children. We're born again because God has done a work in the soul of man. And this is something that we humans have no control over whatsoever. Because what does Jesus say? Verse 8. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound. You cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. God's Spirit works in those he wills and at what time he has decided. And we can't predict it. We can't make it happen. Does this mean that we sort of are just passive? We can't do anything about it? Well, no, because God is sovereign, there is hope for everybody. And we can pray because God listens to prayers. We can be encouraged to pray for the Holy Spirit to bring new birth to others. Maybe if you're a Christian here today, you have family members who are not believers. Keep on praying for them that God's Spirit will work in them, because he is a sovereign Holy Spirit and he works like the wind. We can't see it coming, don't know where it's going, but he will work. But then, what are the marks of being born again, finally? You may ask, how do I know I've been born again? And Jesus goes on to explain to Nicodemus how we know. And the first mark, the first sign that somebody is born again, is that he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. The one who's been born again begins to understand the love of God, begins to understand what Jesus did in his death on the cross and his resurrection, and responds by trusting in Christ. The mark of the new birth is that we have obeyed the call of God to trust in his Son. I tell you today, I can stand here on the basis of this passage to say that God in his love has made a way for us to be saved from the consequences of our wrongs, of our bad choices, of our wrong actions and thoughts. He's given his Son to be the saviour of all mankind. He commands us to leave our old life, to follow him and to trust him. And if you've never come to Jesus in that way, why not do it tonight? Because he will never turn away anybody that comes to him. But they still ask the question, How do I know I truly believed? There are some people that ask that question. How do I know it's genuine in me? How do I know I've really been born again by the Spirit? Well, we can use the analogy of natural, physical birth. I wonder how many of you have been watching the programme Call the Midwife. The series has finished now, but it's, as most of you will know, a programme about midwives in the East End of London in the 1950s and 60s. It's got actually quite a strong Christian background. But in every episode, a baby is born, at least one. And when the baby is born, what are they looking for? You know what they're looking for? They're looking for the baby to cry, aren't they? The baby's born and you want the baby to cry. That shows he's alive. And then what else? Well, babies have to feed, don't they? And the babies, as you know, babies get to feed pretty quickly. And babies get to move. That's what we look for. And if your baby doesn't do those things, you know, then something's not right. They cry, they feed, and they move. Well, these are pictures of the new birth. Crying out is a picture of praying to God. No one tells a baby to cry. It cries. He or she cries. And a person with true faith who's born again will pray to God, will want to pray to him. They may not be able to pray the words that are very eloquent, maybe, or in keeping with what you hear in church, but a person who's born again will cry out to God. We begin the Christian life by praying to God, and we continue the Christian life by praying to him. New babies feed, and those that have been born of the Spirit want to feed by listening to the word of God. Again, babies, natural babies, feed naturally. And a true believer doesn't need to be told to listen to the word of God, to listen to the Lord. They will want to do that and will want to know more of God's word. And moving. New babies move. And the symbolism in there is a change in behaviour. A true Christian will start to become a better person. They will start to think better. They will start to speak better. They will start to behave better. They won't be perfect, but they will be improving. They will begin to show the attitudes and characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know we're born again? Do we pray, however feebly? Do we want to know more about the Word of God? Do we want to change our ways? A Christian is often the last person to see the changes that happen in their lives. Other people observe it first. But a Christian wants to be different and wants to walk to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me conclude by some brief applications. First of all, if you've never called on the Lord today, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, because our God will abundantly pardon. But if by God's Spirit you have done so, well, continue to pray to him. Continue to feed on the word of God. Continue to live for your Saviour. And finally, pray that the Holy Spirit will do his work of regeneration. That's the posh word for it. Work of regeneration in many others. Let us conclude with a prayer. Now, Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit gives new life. Thank you that if we have new life, then it is down to your work within us. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Pray for anybody here that's not yet come to the Lord. Pray that they would receive him even today. And if we have received the Lord Jesus, if we have been born again, help us to show that we have been born again by our prayers, by our words, by our attitudes, by our calling upon you, and by our feeding on your word. So come to us in our needs and be merciful to us tonight, we ask. in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.